Well, you do know that this coming weekend, literally millions of people are going to go to church. And there's going to be a bunch of churches that offer a bunch of religious activity. And most of those people who go to church will leave the church thinking they're better for it. They'll leave the church thinking they're closer to God. They'll leave feeling good about themselves and good about the church. But who is it that's really close to God? Who does have a close, intimate fellowship with the Lord? Just because a person goes to a worship service, does that automatically mean that he's closer to God? If a person says he's a believer, does that automatically mean he has this intimate fellowship with the Holy God of the Bible? Well, King David wrestled with this question right here. There are people all around him who claim to be right with God, but who are anything but actually right with God. These people had a religious look about them, but they did not have any real spiritual depth to them. And so in this psalm, David takes up that theme. And he asks questions, and that's what helps him. So verse 1, he asks this question. Well, first of all, we do know it's a psalm of David, and it says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? Well, that tent to which David is referring to is the tabernacle tent in Jerusalem, which was a place to worship God and a place which featured the presence of God. That holy hill is a synonym for the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The tent was the place of worship, and the holy hill was the place where the tent was located. And when you combine those two concepts, it presents us a picture of one who's going up to the temple to worship God and to fellowship with God in a very personal way. So David is asking, who actually has the right to go to the place where God is worshiped and will be authorized to have fellowship with him? So that's the question. And the answer is given in this song called Psalm 15. Because the one whom God will permit to have intimate fellowship with him and whom God will permit to worship him is one who lives his life with a righteous character in speech and in attitude. And so let's examine, before we look at the psalm, let's look at something that's really important so that we would know if we would have intimate fellowship with God. The individual here, they had to go to that tent. They had to go to that holy hill. And so if you think about that, that person makes the effort to get to the local place of worship. You'll meet people sometimes that will say, I don't need church to be a good Christian. And actually, that's not true. Yes, you do need church. That's the thing that God has set up in the New Testament for people that are Christians. Listening to a podcast, listening to the radio, reading your Bible on your own isn't enough. This person knew that they had to ask, who can go to that tent? Who can go to that holy hill? So if there's no commitment or involvement in a local church, God's not going to classify that person as a good Christian. So some might ask you whether or not they need to join a church to be a good Christian. Let me ask you this. Can you be a good student without school? Can you be a good soldier without military? Can you be a good citizen and not pay your taxes or not vote? Can you be a good sailor without a boat? Could you be a good parent without children? Could you be a good athlete without a team? Perhaps you think you can in your mind, but that's not the real world. And so it is in God's world. In your own mind, you may think you're a great Christian without the church, but not in God's real world of spirituality. Now, the ability to worship God is a granted ability that comes from God. And David points out some character traits here. Look at that first part of verse 2. he who walks blamelessly and does what is right. And so the person who has intimate fellowship with God is one who walks through life with integrity. That word integrity is one that means to live life in a way that is whole and complete and sound. And that kind of person has a conduct that's blameless because they live lives in a whole and complete and a sound way. And that person of integrity is one whose life is being lived in full and complete obedience to God. Doesn't mean they're sinless, but does mean that they have a well-developed, mature spirituality that makes that person a complete person in God. Goes on and he says, and speaks truth in his heart. And that person lives it. They have this intimate fellowship with God. It conforms their life in the righteous standards of the Word of God. They have an intimate fellowship with God, and they live life in accordance with the Word of God. Not only a man of integrity, he's a man of obedience. And having a life that is right with God requires a walk and a work. An intimate fellowship with God requires a working righteousness, not just talking about it or thinking about it, hearing about it. It requires working at it. And this person speaks the truth. We see that again. Let me repeat it. And speaks the truth in his heart. The person right with God has nothing hidden in their heart. There's not any deception or lies in the heart of one who has close and intimate fellowship with God. And notice that it's not the external that determines spirituality. It's the internal. And there are many hypocrites in religion and in churches. They go to church, but their hearts are filled with deception and lies. They are not really doing honest business with God, and no one will ever have intimate fellowship with God with a heart like that. Goes on, he says in the first part of verse 3, who does not slander with his tongue. Someone has wisely said that one person why people love dogs so much is because dogs wag their tails and not their tongues. Charles Spurgeon said, all slanderers are wind instruments of the devil. Undoubtedly, many will miss having a close relationship with God because they cannot control their mouths. And that Hebrew word slander is one that literally refers to movement of the feet. One who goes someplace by moving feet. David is saying that one who slanders is one who moves from person to person, place to place, verbally walking on, treading down people. This kind of person is one who goes here and there, verbally assaulting others, walking over a person's character and reputation. The poison of a viper is no threat to you until you've been bitten, and then you will realize that poison is designed to kill you. And a slanderer is out to kill you when you are hit with the venom. You quickly realize it. Chuck Swindoll gives some great practical insight into this verse when he writes, this is an excellent time for me to pose a direct question. Does this describe you? Are you a gossip? Do you inwardly enjoy hearing or passing on some juicy tale that colors another's reputation? It is interesting that in the list of seven things God hates in Proverbs 6, three have to do with the tongue. And several years ago, I was given wise counsel regarding the use of my tongue. I hope it will help you as much as it's helped me. Before you pass along information or contents about someone else, let it first pass through four gates of approval. If all four give you a green light, share it without hesitation. Gate number one, is it confidential? If so, never mention it. Gate number two, is it true? This may take some investigation. Gate number three, is it necessary? So many words are useless. And gate number four, is it kind? Does it serve a wholesome purpose? And that's from the book by Chuck Swindoll, Living Beyond the Daily Grind. Look at the second part of verse three, and does no evil to his neighbor. You see, the person who has an intimate fellowship with God does not do evil against his neighbor. What good is one's relationship with God if he cannot function in his neighborhood? One right with God is one who is nice to have as a neighbor. So you have a person that lives next door, and they may not be the best person, but what kind of neighbor are you to them? That is a person that has an intimate relationship with God. And then the last part of verse 3, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. You see, the person who has an intimate fellowship with God does not take up a reproach against his friend. A wicked person has no sense of loyalty to a friend, to a mate, or to a church. The word reproach is one that refers to one who scorns or one who considers one of little worth. This may be done by attitude or speech. A person who has an intimate fellowship with God is one who is loyal in friendships and relationships. When we come to verse 4, we see, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. That person is, it's just sad to see that vile person. That word, vile person, refers to one who despises and rejects the things of God. That niphal stem of the verb indicates that that person is one who has decisively and actively turned himself in rejection of God and his word. Not speaking of average sinners. People who are right with God will despise certain people, and those certain people are those who despise and reject God and his word. We cannot have intimate camaraderie with God at the same time have intimate camaraderie with these reprobates. We need to abhor what is evil. It says that in Romans 12:9. And people in fellowship with God despise certain things in certain people. And the second part of verse 2, but who honors those who fear the Lord. People who are right with God love to be around other people who are right with God. And notice, being right with God demands a healthy fear of God. And Dr. Unger called this a godly reverence. Believers who hang around other believers who are spiritual airheads, who do not fear God or have reverence for God, do not have close fellowship with God. People in fellowship with God love other people who reverence him and his word. And when you look at it, there are many churches that have no fear or reverence for God, and their only desire is to increase numbers regardless of what they have to do to accomplish it. And these kind of people will never have intimate fellowship with God. Look at that last part of verse 4. Who swears to his own hurt and does not change. A person right with God is a person of his word. Even if it costs him or hurts him, he will not go back on his word or change a promise he made. People who go back on their words are fools. J. Vernon McGee said a spiritual man will not change his story even if it protects him or makes him look better. He will tell the truth and be a man of his word. And we also see a person of God in verse 5, who does not put out his money at interest. He's a person that has close fellowship with God. He's going to be a person who uses money to help people. And according to the Old Testament law, God's people were commanded by God to not lend money to a needy brother and charge interest. The person with money was to lend generously and unselfishly, and God would bless him for that. And frankly, one's attitude and handling of money does say much about one's spiritual life. And then lastly, one and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And so one right with God is not going to color their judgment against an innocent person for anything, especially money. Many churches have done this. They allow one with money to get away with things simply because of their money, and that isn't right. And we see at the end of the verse, if we do these things, we will never be shaken. In other words, our relationship with God will always be sound and secure. God will see to it that such a person is as solid and stable as a rock. And when we come into the sanctuary of God, let us make it our purpose to enter as people who have these traits in our individual lives.